Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. And whenever works for you.
High noon! Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. Tier Tuesday. Check out the tiers at Jones and Keefe. Keefe21. Jones WEEI on Twitter and Instagram. It's also a Tom E. Tuesday. Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston, joins us every Tuesday at high noon. And he's brought to you by your New England Chevy dealers, Together Let's Drive, and by Shaw's and Star Market. Go shopping and get rewarded. Tommy Curran, how are we doing this week?
Tremendous. How are you, boys?
Oh, we're doing great.
Excellent.
I was reading your latest at NBC Sports Boston. The reaction of the Patriots' quote-unquote lucky win is more evidence of how far they've come. It wasn't the cleanest win. It was an ugly win for the Patriots, but they win anyway. They're 7-2. I guess, how do you square away those two feelings?
That it wasn't, that they were due for a game in which their quarterback did not play like a god, and he didn't, and they suffered a couple of injuries, and they made a critical mistake, and they didn't play brilliantly on offense in the second half. So how I square it is just to say, when you look around the league, as we all do, and I'm not telling anybody anything to anyone that they don't know, but you just see an avalanche of surprise results. And the Patriots have been able to keep their hands at 10-2 and take care of business in a very efficient way, and in a way that you just don't expect a team that outright sucked for 2 years plus to do. So I look at it and say, yeah, you got to clean that stuff up. It's not what you're looking for. But on the other hand, too, to say, if you do that, you're not going to win in January. Well, holy crap, we're talking about January. I mean, that shows how far they've come.
Well, yeah, and then that also, for me anyway, changes how I look at today. Trade deadline coming up at 4 o'clock. You know, a month or two ago, it would be like, you know, whatever, like see where they're at. But they're 7-2. The AFC seems to be pretty wide open. What should they do in your mind between now and 4 o'clock?
It's interesting. I thought that Mike Vrabel's comments on the Greg Hill Show yesterday were really telling in saying that he doesn't believe that being 7-2 should alter their approach in the least, because it is only 9 games into a regime that he hopes lasts for a long time. That said, you have to be opportunistic and understand situational personnel as opposed to situational football. And I think that they do, but you shouldn't say, well, it's early here. We don't want to put too much on trying to win games in 2025 because this is found money. I don't necessarily agree with that. And I would say pass rusher, which we've spoken about, is a primary need, as is running back. You can't go around with, you know, perhaps a turf toe situation that could linger for Ramondre Stevenson and just Terrell Jennings and Travion Henderson as your back. So those are absolute must-haves. And then I've said tight end and wide receiver because I think the offense certainly needs more depth. You know, you lose Mac Hollins, for instance, for 2 or 3 weeks. Well, who does his job? You lose one of your receiving tight ends. Does Jack Westover kick from being a fullback into a competent tight end to replace Hooper or Henry or make everybody move up the chain? And then I would also, look at those two spots. And then I think, cornerback, you could always use some.
So you mentioned a wide receiver in there, along with some of the needs for the team. You're a Jakobi Meyers fan, if I'm not mistaken. He goes for a fourth and a 6th-round pick to the Jaguars in the playoff mix in the AFC. Would you have done that? Should the Patriots have done that?
Yeah, I said yesterday that I would have done. My limit was a fourth. That would be my price point. I hate the term price point as opposed to just a price. But that would have been my price point if I was the Patriots. I wouldn't part with any first, second, or third round picks for guys who might be temps, but I definitely believe that Jacoby Myers would have been a really good target. You already have a mess of sixth and seventh round picks. You have 11 picks. So I would have done that deal, even on a rental basis, because you talk about somebody who the team knows, who Josh McDaniels knows, who is a non-problem in the locker room. And I think the Patriots, you know, kind of missed the boat on Jacoby Myers.
Well, I was going to ask, so why do you think they weren't in? Or why, or, you know, maybe they were in but didn't land him. Why do you think they weren't willing to pay the freight?
Yeah, I mean, they must have just thought it was too rich. It's as simple as that. I mean, there's a point at which they say, we're not doing that. Now, you and I are not working for NFL teams, so we look at these picks and say, well, what do you get for a sixth-round pick? And they can say, well, DeMario Douglas or Kayshawn Booty. We can't just give them away. But we've also seen second-round picks just set fire to on a regular basis around here. So there is no reason to push away from the table unless you feel that that's not worth it for a rental and you don't have great confidence that you could re-sign him.
Well, you mentioned Kayshawn Booty in there, and he left the game early. He gave an update on his Discord about his hamstring. So, you know, he may be out for a week or two. We'll see what happens with him. But it looks like there'd probably be more playing time for Kyle Williams. And by no means am I writing this guy off for his career, but it just doesn't really seem like anything's clicking with him this season.
No, and I expected that kind of watching him during preseason. I just didn't feel like he was – I didn't think he was bad. Mm-hmm. I just – you know, it's get in where you can fit in, and it's hard to fit in with this group right now. I mean, Booty's a better player than he is. He's bigger, stronger. He's certainly not faster, but, you know, DeMario Douglas has played well. They gave him every opportunity, and once – you know, it hit critical mass, he started to produce. So to me, it's more a byproduct of not that they have the greatest receivers in the world and they can't crack the lineup, but you want to, when the team is doing well, continue to run the same guys out there. Will he play well when he's out there? From everything we've been told, from draft experts and people who covered college football, I remember talking to Bruce Feldman. He is absolutely one of his favorite players in the draft, you know, from SI. And he just the Athletic, excuse me. And he just loves the ability and the style of play that Kyle Williams has. So whether it's Kyle Williams, you know, and he will eventually have the light go on the way it does for so many players, I think this is an opportunity for him. But I wouldn't say he's going to go off either.
Yeah. Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, joins us every week at high noon on a Tuesday. We call it Tommy Tuesday. Let's get to our Drake take, Tom, presented by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. Now, we've spent most of this win streak, now six in a row, you know, praising Drake May, MVP candidate, et cetera, et cetera. What do you see, maybe even specifically in Sunday's game, that would give you pause believing that this team could go on a deep run, given the way that Drake has struggled with some turnovers, some fumbles, the sacks he's taken? Is there something where you look at and go, maybe he's not quite ready to put this team on his back and go on a run?
Nope. Nothing from Sunday would seem to me to be a barrier or an obstacle to them winning in terms of, well, if they didn't have Drake May, things would have gone better there. I really just don't see us being in a position on some January Monday talking about that. Even the sacks. If you look at last week, the six sacks, those were legitimate Myles Garrett penetrating, taking Drake May down 7 or 8 yards behind the line of scrimmage. These six sacks this past game, they were sacks. They were quarterback looking to throw and then going to the ground. But a couple of them were when he said, you know what, nothing down there, I'm going to run. And he makes a little yardage and he gets near the line of scrimmage and gets taken down. It's like a 1 yard loss if you're a running back. So I'm not excusing it, but we don't, you know, I know some people say, well, that's on Drake. Well, why? Because he didn't want to throw it into a team meeting. Sometimes you end up, I would rather see him tuck it and take a small loss than him force it into someplace because he's afraid to get hit or too indecisive and standing there, you know, doing a crossword puzzle trying to figure out what's going on. So I just think he's, and the last thing I'll say, Jonesy, reply to that is to have the fumble he did, which was obviously no good, and then to have the pick, which was airmailed. And then to play with the confidence that he did afterwards and the resiliency, didn't get pissed when Kyle Williams appeared to run the wrong route, didn't get flummoxed when kind of a questionable play call, flipping it out to the left for the screen to Travion Henderson that ended a drive. He was unfazed. And for us to be saying in November how unflappable Drake May is, when we spent the end of last year and the summer wondering if he was going to have enough poise to play okay, is a huge jump.
You know, if they don't add a running back today, Tom, can they go the rest of the year with just Henderson and Jennings maybe for the next couple of weeks? And then if Stevenson does come back from the toe injury, just go with those guys. Henderson had a season-high 14 carries this past week. He's not – even in college, you know, he's another one of these running backs that split time. So he was never like a big, you know, volume runner. So if they don't add a running back, like what would happen then?
Yeah, I think then you start to look at other teams' practice squads. You start to look at veterans who might be, you know, on the street and bring them in. They like Terrell Jennings. They really do. And, you know, the woods are full of running backs who have had their opportunities blocked elsewhere, who end up going to a team and finding an opportunity with who they are. And you're like, wow, that guy just ran for 107 yards. Didn't see that coming. Not saying that they're on the cusp of having a guy come in and do that, but I think that all different avenues will be explored, including practice squad guys and familiarity. But again, running back and pass rusher today are their main priorities. Hearing prices are high, but if I don't know what the price is, that's a subjective opinion from somebody as to whether the prices are high or not. If you want a running back and somebody says, give me a 6th-round pick for, you know, a mid-tier running back who might not be a starter, if your need is such, cough it up. Cough it up. Give it to him.
Yeah, well, and it's interesting. I mean, Jalen Phillips at the top of the pass rush market, I'd imagine, yeah, or close to it anyway, was only a 3rd-round pick. So that's interesting that you're hearing prices are high.
Relatively, you know, I mean, what does that mean? High for what? You know, highest in 1st and 2nd rounders? I can't imagine. I mean, you look at what Duggar took and Keelan White took. Those are 2nd-round picks who've shown ability, at least Duggar has, in the league. Jalen Phillips, we're not going to be talking about 4th-round picks in most cases. It looks like 5th and 6th and stuff like that.
What'd you think of Clapgate? What'd you think of the Falcons crying about the simulated snap count and Vrabel's response, I guess?
I was embarrassed for him. I mean, truly embarrassed. You get 65,000 people in the stadium, and then you got a center or whoever it was who came back to the sideline and goes, somebody clap. That's what happened out there. Mommy, they cheated. I'd be embarrassed. I would be embarrassed to go back to the sideline and say that. It's like, you know, you heard somebody. Again, I'll use a golf analogy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.
Analogy. Did somebody move when I was swinging? I thought I heard somebody blink. Shut up. You hit it in the wood because you stink.
Yeah, that one's on them. Now, this season's been going great, 7-2. No one's going to apologize for, you know, an easier schedule. That's the nature of the NFL. You're a last-place team 1 year, you get a last-place schedule. But this week is one of those games that we have kind of circled at Tampa Bay. One of the, you know, top 8 teams in the NFL probably. Like, this is a signature game. What are you looking forward to seeing on Sunday?
Can they continue to maintain this kind of composure and poise that they've shown? I mean, they've gone on the road, and yes, they went on the road to Tennessee and New Orleans, but they also went to Buffalo. Mm-hmm. And they have everyone's attention now. Buffalo, I think they were a curiosity. Now they are more than a curiosity. Tampa has had a week off now as well to get healthy and ready. So Tampa's good. Baker Mayfield is a very good player, as we know, and they play – some cutthroat defense. So I look at this matchup this week as being, look, if the Patriots are going to have a game in which they come out a little, I just keep thinking, how long can you play not just brilliantly as they did, but at the very least very well, which is, I'm overstating what they did on Sunday. Look, they were on the cusp of a 35-7 lead.
Oh, sure.
On Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah.
It could have been 35-7. They go down, they score a touchdown, or even 31, and they score a touchdown coming out of the half. That thing is a complete blowout. So they vastly outplayed the hell they play?
Atlanta. First half, yeah.
They vastly
definitely
outplayed Atlanta, and they vastly outplayed Pittsburgh, which that's the reason I was casting about for the name. They vastly outplayed Pittsburgh in a game they lost. I mean, they could certainly – am I an idiot if I finish this sentence and say they could be 9-0?
They could be.
Sure.
They also could be.
Well, I mean, they're definitely
they could
not.
Be. No, they're not. They're 7-2, but no,
5-4
no, I mean,
or whatever, are, too, yeah.
I mean, the Raiders and the Steelers, for sure, they could have won those games.
But. Yeah, and they were, I don't know, kind of fortunate to win the Miami game.
Right. Yeah, right. Bills game, they could have lost. They could have lost to Atlanta. I mean, if you could play that game both ways, but no, they could, yeah, they could be 9-0, yeah. Sure.
So it's the way they played, though. I mean, it's just their standard operation is to be a very good football team. And when you go from being a very bad football team for such an extended period, and then magically you're that much better, it's natural to wonder, how long can this go on?
Okay. Mm-hmm. He's Tommy Curran. You can check out his latest at NBC Sports Boston, how far the Patriots have come since the offseason. You can follow him on Twitter at Tommy Curran. You can check him out Thursday on WEEI Afternoons and every Tuesday at High Noon here on Jones and Keefe. Tommy Curran, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much, guys. Take care.
Thank you, Tom.
Tommy Curran joining us here on deadline day. He said he's hearing the prices are high.
High prices.
So this goes
to
back
Al Caprillion.
This goes back.
High pressure.
This goes back to my stance that, and I'm not saying Tom only talks to the Patriots organization, but like he covers the Patriots. I think the Patriots are putting out there, we don't want to be the Commanders. They're a cautionary tale. And this is just year one or 1.5 of a rebuild. And well, geez, the prices out there are pretty high. Like, just trying to read the tea leaves and understand which way the wind is blowing, it doesn't sound like they're going to be doing anything of consequence. And I'm okay, Keith, with just making depth trades.
No, I'm fine with depth trades.
Depth running back, depth edge rusher. Those are the same two positions Curran highlighted that Reese has highlighted. Great. Go get those guys. Use the picks you got for Peppers. Use the pick you got for Keon White. And flip those for positions of need, I think that'd be great. I'd be happy with that.
Well, because you could say the prices are high or the asking prices are high, but we know that Jalen Phillips got dealt for a third and Jacoby Myers got dealt for a fourth and a sixth. That doesn't seem outrageous to me. That seems about right for both guys.
On Myers, we've gotten a bunch of texts like this. I saw it in the Twitch chat as well.
Yeah.
Guys, it's possible the Patriots offered the same as the Jaguars. But the Jaguars are a worse team, so their picks would be higher. I guess that's possible.
Maybe.
But then what? You could have given up. And I don't mean to make the case because I don't really think they should have done this Jacoby Myers trade. But Tom likes him. And if they like him and Josh McDaniels thinks as highly of him as Tom was making it sound, you could have given up a fourth and a fifth instead of a fourth and a sixth. Like, it's not like you couldn't have topped Jacksonville's offer, and they chose not to. So I still wonder if they're like, if they don't fully believe in themselves. Like, I still wonder if
they're... Or the other way, with the receivers specifically, maybe they believe in the receivers.
That's fair. I just think doing nothing at the trade deadline, Myers would be an example, but you're right about the receiver room. Maybe that's a sign they believe in their receiver room. Inaction at the deadline. Subtracting at the deadline would lead me to believe...
Yeah, I don't love that.
Deep down, they don't fully believe. And oh, by the way, don't be the Commanders. You don't want to be the Commanders in the NFC title game last year.
Yeah, you don't want your quarterback and your best receiver being hurt. Yeah. That's the lesson from the Commanders. But I would say you could almost take it by position basis, right? So if they don't add a receiver, and they don't add a receiver like Jacoby Myers, then maybe they... It's not even the picks that they're afraid of giving up. It's just, do they really want to bring in that player to this group? Whereas I don't see the excuse for running back. I don't see the excuse for even safety. A lot of people are talking about edge rush, but it's more so just if Landry or Chasen get hurt. You want to prepare yourself there.
Your top two there are fine, but yeah, do you want
After
a little bit
that,
of depth?
You want to be like, oh man, we had a chance to upgrade that and we chose not to.
Did I say Peppers? I meant Duggar. I'm sorry. Text line says
either
I was
way.
Saying Peppers. But you do need help with
a Steelers safety.
Yeah, I mean, turn around and use those picks you got.
Yeah.
And don't tell me that, you know, you can't rebuild because you got some extra 6th round picks and you turn around and flipped them. Like, I think you could still rebuild and you could still contend this year and you could do both. You don't have to pick.
We need some more deals. We got no trades going on.
Yeah, what? We just had the Myers trade?
We've had one trade, although that was a big trade.
Big one.
I mean, we know who that guy is.
Well, stay ready over there, Billy. Because you never know when trades are going to come out of nowhere here on deadline day. 617-779-7937. We have more thoughts on the latest deadline buzz as it relates to the Patriots.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch full episodes, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for the Greg Hill Show, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.